June 23, 2023, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Show. Happy Friday. We start off with Chasing the Train, the life excerpt from November 22, 1962 show, John Coltrane. And then Stinkin' Lizaveta with Some Go to Hell. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with us people. All three members of Stinkin' Lizaveta. Sorry for fucking that up. 22 years, I'm still blowing clams. I was saying off air to the people, yeah, well, welcome aboard first.
All right, right on.
Right. Big respect to the Fly PR people for making the connect. Thank you, Ilka and Shannon people.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolute. Now, I was telling these people off air about I had a gig last night. I'm only missing main gig of 2023, right? 6 months. Well, Burton here a couple of days. And David Thomas is in a wheelchair, you know, and stuff. So I wanted to show, and I got fucked up. You know, I almost went off stage a couple weeks ago at the Whiskey. Only a couple tunes, too. And that's like 5 foot stage. This was a Masonic Lodge, so. But anyway, I wanted to be solidarity with him. But it's hard. And I practice and record sitting down sometimes, but it's hard to rock it out. So. Maddie, let's start with you. Please bring your fucking earliest musical memory.
My earliest musical memory?
There's a fucking echo in here, huh?
Going, yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm just fucking with you.
I do have an early musical memory. I'm going through my mom's 45s and listening to Elvis Presley and Rockin' Robin.
Yeah.
And Neil Sedaka.
Yeah.
Yeah. On these like 45s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thinking like, you know, that Elvis was pretty fucking cool. And I still do.
Okay. That's valid. You know, watch for Pedro's show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers. Did somebody fart over there?
Then I got,
boomer. Now, let me ask you, the pad you grew up in, this one with the 45s of your ma's, was there musical instruments in that pad?
There was a mandolin.
Did you jump on it?
I did.
Yeah. Okay, down the road, you're going to be fucking lead guitar, so who knows, right? Portent. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was a Styx album.
Whoa, with a Y, right?
Yeah. Styx with a Y. I think it was the Best of Styx.
Ooh.
Best of Styx. Yeah.
Sometimes it's an accident. Sometimes you choose it. What was the first gig you saw live?
All right. Here it goes.
Right.
Minor Threat and Trouble Funk.
Whoa. Okay.
With the
so
big
like,
boys.
What was it? What they call that stuff? There was a funk style in D.C. Drop the bomb. Drop the bomb.
Drop the bomb, drop the bomb. It's called Go-Go.
Go-Go, that's what they call it, Go-Go. And, of course, everybody knows my brother Ian and stuff. We wrote a song for the Double Nickel and Dime. The last one on there is called Love Dance. Have you ever been at that pad, the Discord House, the original one? They practiced in the basement, and you had to stand in between, you know, the wood, the leaves or eaves or, because, yeah, it didn't have a lot of headroom over there. But we ended up writing love songs. Ian comes to all my gigs. He's a beautiful cat. So what about at school? Were you in the marching band, the choir, shit like that?
Nah, I was like a secret musician.
No, that's okay. I asked that question mainly because a lot of school systems get rid of the arts and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was like, you know, I was like the guy that nobody knew played guitar, you know. Like,
okay, now how'd you get on the guitar? Was it that mandolin or did somebody give you a gift or what happened?
Well, you know, it's
I don't know. I wasn't there. That's what I'm asking you. But when I get this mind reading thing done, we won't need words.
I wanted to be in a band, man. I wanted to
I know, but there's a thing about wanting. Like, I want everybody to be nice to each other, but it ain't fucking happening, is it? I mean, how did you make it happen there, Yanni?
I had the acoustic guitar.
How'd you get that?
I guess I got my parents to get me an acoustic guitar.
Okay.
Is
it the thing where you make a list at Hanukkah or Christmas or what?
Yeah, like a kind of like maybe a Christmas gift. Maybe it was something like that. I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I got them to get me the acoustic guitar. And
did you take lessons?
Not yet. I didn't take lessons till I got the electric guitar.
Okay, what kind?
I got the electric guitar. I started mowing lawns.
Yeah.
I mowed enough lawns to save up $400.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fuck, and that's a lot of lawn, brother.
I was mowing for $20 a lawn.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Damn. And, so you're a little younger then, because when I was a boy, nobody got fucking $20 a lawn. That's fucking easy housing too, though.
one person got mad at me because they're like, "You didn't even rake it."
Or leaf blower. Why don't they have leaf suckers? I mean, what is this shit blowing shit around and making so much goddamn? What about electric ones? If you don't have electric cars. Let's get some electric leaf blowers going. That shit's loud. But anyway, I don't mean a bitch and shit like that. You didn't tell me what kind. For $400, it was probably a good one.
It was a good one. It was a Gibson Les Paul.
Okay.
The guy was selling it because it was too heavy and his back hurt. And it's a 1971 Gibson Les Paul Deluxe,
So you took lessons for it?
I started taking lessons at this little place called Ken Wheaton Music Center. And I sat down in this little room, and this woman came in. Her name was Dee. And she picked up her guitar, and she played this, like, just killer bending blues riff. And I just was like, I got to be able to do that, you know. Like, immediately I was sold.
Okay.
And I'm still playing that riff, you know. That's it. That's what I'm playing.
So you didn't do the thing about, like, trying to copy songs off records and shit?
Well, that came later,
okay.
You know, but I needed someone to just show me, you know, how to play a little bit, like how to bend a note. I went right for, like, you know, playing those leads, those, like, pentatonic leads, you know. That was what I went for right away. And
Charlie Christian, do some Lester Young.
B.B. King was my favorite guy.
B.B. King, though, he talks about, you can go to YouTube cut. com where he talks about Charlie Christian. He can run them fucking licks for you. You know, he was the first cat to really... Guitar used to be in the rhythm section. Maybe Alexi can tell you this, but yeah, you guys were down with us and the piano guys and the drums because the fucking horn... It was like the horns bogarted everything. I want to play this tune you gave me, Ultimate Ass Kicking. Let's listen.
under the light of the moon so bright. We dance with the ghosts of the night and leave behind all our fears and fright. For in their embrace, we feel so light. We shake off all our envy and pain and leave behind all our longings so vain. The music and dance, they guide us to soar. So rare, a presentation of all dance and song. But in this dance, we don't seem to care for a moment. We have what we call.
Yeah. guerre civile, les abibliques, de comanabique, de tanganangique, et puis canique, si ou espoir qu'un parabellum. Ce n'est l'amphithéâtre ni oracle, peut-être un miracle, miracle. Toi mon peuple qui périt, laisse pas ton frère périr, ouvre ta serrure, non par plaisir, mais par amour. Fuck l'humour, n'ose plus devenir nous théâtraliser, sinon on cause à la neutraliser. Aux oméga qu'on analyse par faible, on se baigne à les traîtres, volaire, bête, secte, fictif, bien que tu te prétends maître. Boutique en appête, pète, un enfant au la ma fenêtre. Nazagiste, net, ni nénette, ok, net.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start that chunk of music off with Stinkin' Les Vetta doing Ultimate Ass Kicking. Shane Abdullah and Jason Nasri, brand new. This Patrick Shiroishi joined him on this. He was on the Shiroishi, sorry. He was on the show, and incredible sax man. Jamie Branch, man, we lost her way too young. But they got some stuff out that's coming out. She's on the show a couple of years ago. And she's just an incredible trumpet lady composer. Didn't even make 40. Damn. Well, Charlie Christian, 25, right? Oh, yeah, TB vaccines, right? Very bad, very evil RFK.
You know. Okay.
Okay, Light Brothers, my buddies up in Tokyo, got a brand new tune called Dark Ballet. Schoolie D from Philadelphia, Parkside. You guys live near Parkside?
I don't know. Do we live near Parkside?
A little bit.
525. John Coltrane's house on 33rd Street, Strawberry Mansions by the zoo. I always take my bands here.
We're right near there.
Okay. Yeah, the Lone Star used to be, there was a gig right near there for a while. Had one of them troughs under the bar you could piss while you're drinking, huh? They never had an act. It was from the old days, though, because it wasn't active. Damn it.
It was only active when we were there.
Okay. Had an odor to it. Troposphere, number 7, brand new album, Guerra Civil. That means Civil War, people. Or like some people say about ours, it was not too civil. Swenson Klein, Century, Canada, Quebec. Sonic Prophets out of North Carolina, speaking of John Coltrane. Going to be all right. Also, who else? Dizzy Gillespie, Thelonious Monk, a lot of cats came out. I've enjoyed As Much as the Good Life as I Can by Jeb Loy Nichols. Samuel Locke Ward out of, I don't know where he lives, but Samuel Locke Ward, Iowa City. E-Y-K-F. I just made an album with him. He was riffing on T-Rex. He found out, but the first gig I went and saw was T-Rex. And so he made a record inspired by that. It's called Purple Pie Plow. Kill Rock Stars. Great label. Serpent Underfoot, finally, with Stinkin' Las Vetta. And Cheshire, bring it. Your earliest musical memory, please.
Oh, my earliest musical memory is going to make me sound like I'm autistic. I would sit on the floor and kind of beat my hand on the floor and rearrange the syllables of words so that they sounded like they were pushing syncopation.
Like scat.
Kind of, yeah. And I was pretty young when I was doing this, four or five years old. So that's where rhythm came from.
Alvin Jones has got to go to YouTube. It's only a half hour long, a documentary, Different Drummer. He talks about the pots and pans. Did you get into that shit?
Pots and pans?
Yeah, this was his first drum set. And then his sister, he did the paper route like fucking Yanni. But his sister also helped out to get his first drum set. It's trippy. He gets into the shit where the drum set's like producer of colors, right? The snare's got a color and hi-hat and all. Check it out. It's trippy. So that's where the rhythm comes from. I'm going to ask you, first record you bought was your own money.
It was either Cat Stevens or John Denver's Poems, Prayers, and Promises. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that question.
I don't have any guilt, Mike, about any of that crap.
Yeah, but I wasn't judgmental on it.
Because I'm an American artist.
Which don't have
any guilt.
Central American? South American? Which one? You know, all the Latin cats don't like us bum-rushing that fucking name, you know. FYI. Anyway, let me ask you this. The pad you grew up in. Besides the deck, you slapping the deck, was there any instruments? No. You weren't tempted. What was the first live gig you saw?
Oh, Kansas.
Yeah.
But actually,
I saw them too.
I lived in West Virginia, and mostly what we did was we went to see small shows of bluegrass and mountain music.
I used to play the college town, Morgantown, the Underground Railroad.
I used to play Morgantown all the time.
And Marcia, you had that bus. They never found her. You know, they never found Marcia. They think it was bikers murdered her over methamphetamine or something. Terrible. Let me ask you this. Were you in the marching band or the choir at school or shit like that?
Oh, I was in all the choirs.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, you know, because I think arts should be supported along with reading, writing, and all that shit. How'd you get your first drum set? You know why it's called trap set, right?
Yes.
Contraption.
You are correct, Mike Watt.
New Orleans, right? Okay. I guess Ludwig was the first people to sell them, but the first ones were just cobbled together with whatever the fuck, right?
Yeah, so Chinese tom-toms.
Right. And gongs.
From Turkey.
Yeah.
For instance.
Actually, cymbals still come there, right? Zildjian and that stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them do. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, they had a fight, right? So there's Zambia. That's why we're into Vanuatu values, right? So we can backstab each other after lying about that shit. Now, let me ask you, how did you get your first trap kit?
I was doing some artist modeling for a lady out just outside of Philadelphia, and she had a son who had been playing the New York circuit and got his dream job working, advertisement for Coca-Cola.
Instead of playing drums, that's a dream job? Fuck.
She had the drums in her garage.
Yes.
And she took me to her garage and she said, my son is looking for a home for these, and you can have them. And it was a Louis Belson holiday model double 20-inch kick set, and I still have it.
I've seen him play. It was Louis Belsoni, right? He shortened his name Italiano. And he invented the double kick drum.
That's right. Although other drummers have been known to take credit for that.
I know. You need to slap them all a bald spot inside your head, right? So I didn't get to ask Yanni this because, you know, we only got so much. But did you, I'm not talking graduating, but after school, did you get the garage band, bedroom band, basement band thing?
So I was an adult beginner. I started playing drums late in college. And
that's bitching. You know, Vincent only painted his last 10 years. No. I shit you not. And that's why I get into this shit, too, 22 years of doing the show, because I think anybody could start music anytime, so people hear other people's musical stories. You ain't got to be some Mozart prodigy thing. You can just take it up later.
Right. Well, I have – my youngest student was 3. He was still drinking out of a sippy cup, and my oldest student is 72 years old, a beginner. So, yes, you're right. People like come to music for every kind of reason you can think of at every age.
Yeah, bitching. Okay. Bring on Alexi, please.
How's it going?
Alexi, earliest musical memory. How's it going? Fuck, we're doing a show. That's how it's going. It's going pretty good. You guys are very interesting. I dig talking with you. Your earliest musical memory, please.
Well, Yanni and I were obviously in the same house, but he's like 4 years older than me.
Oh, you got the same. You guys are Greek ethnic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's a older brother or younger brother?
Yeah, he's my older brother.
Oh, progenitor issues. Nah, I just said that. One time he said that about Ashton Brothers, so.
From the same record collection, I kind of latched on to the Billy.
We're talking about the question is earliest musical memory.
Yeah, listening to records on our parents' record player, Louis Armstrong.
You're not listening to the same 45. So there's two record collections, maybe LPs and 45s.
Yeah, I was listening to the LPs.
Fuck that.
Was it Louis Armstrong?
On my show. Call later. Go ahead.
Was it Billie Holiday?
No.
Oh, Kay's favorite singer.
The other one.
Ella Fitzgerald and Billy. Yeah, Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong.
Satch.
Yeah. It was like the only jazz record in our house.
Satch smoked mocha every day of his life, I read.
And my dad had a lot of Rumbetico records, you know, like Greek music, and that's bad.
I love it, bouzouki and stuff.
Yeah, so that's always been, you know, in the back of my subconscious.
Okay, and were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
You got it. I was in marching band and shit like that.
what did you do?
Yeah, I was playing a saxophone.
Which one? Tenor? Alto?
Alto.
Yeah, everybody in school. Then they go to tenor. Except Maceo, fucking Bird, and Cannonball Adderley, and a buttload of other that. Shut up. Rabbit Hodges, Johnny Hodges. Right? Let me ask you this. First gig you saw?
Well, that would have to be Yanni's band, Pro Tem.
Whoa. Okay.
That
Pro
was
Tem,
like,
that's a name.
Just an all-star band, posthumously. So... you had Peter Kortner that went on to be in Dag Nasty.
Sure.
And you had Damon Locks that went on to be in Trenchmouth and other bands.
Yeah.
Mark Shellhouse that went on to...
So you guys grew up D.C. area?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I understand.
Okay. So, and Mark Shellhouse was in Beefeater after Pro Tem. So Yanni's first band was really the beginning of a lot of stuff that was happening.
And what was the first record you bought with your own money?
It's Pink Floyd.
I think they made more than one, though.
A Nice Pair?
Yeah, that was a U.S. repackaging of the Syd Barrett record with Umma Gumma or something.
It was a misprint, though.
Right. There's some fuck-up. And also Astromedy Domini, it's a live version with David Gilmour. It's not even the Syd Barrett studio one. Yeah. Fucked up. I remember seeing that as a kid, as a teenager. I remember seeing it. It's got a lot of nice little pictures, though. And so I use that idea for a sock tight album.
Right. I was there, but I didn't get the whole thing because one side of each record, I think, was Iron Maiden.
It was Iron Maiden. All right. Somebody fucked up. So Eddie should have popped up and beat the shit out of whoever did that. Well, how'd you get on the fucking bass?
I think, did Peter bring over, there was a short scale bass that I think Peter Kortner gave me. It was like a Fender Music Man.
And the little ones, yeah.
I started playing.
You know what? We ran out of time. We're going to have to continue with you next hour because we ran out of time. I'm so sorry, but interesting people. People, June 23, 2020. Oh, this one's tough. June 23, 2023 edition. Why Peter is so special guest. Stinking Lisa Vera. Hold tight for hour two. June 23, 2023. It's the second hour. What Pedro show.
good job, guys. For the next one, take a friend, new or old, in this audience, and play something to them. Keep in mind that we're aiming to be very, very quiet in your mic. Okay? So you can get closer to them if you want, but don't get any louder. shines through. We're going to do this four times through, each time making it gradually more elaborate. First time through is just as is, and then every time we repeat, more and more added to it.
Thank you.
Scott for Pedro Show. Start off second hour, Let Live from Stinkin' Elizaveta, Robert Carl. There's something live here. It's called Quiet, in parentheses, assisted. It's like, I guess, ball gag or some shit. Dick sock in your mouth. I don't know. GAS drummers out of Spain with La Herida, Papa M. This is David Pajo. I saw him last night. Gig. He brought a fucking Emmett Kelly. How'd you like your parents to name you after a clown? They spell it different, though. But anyway, Long May You Burn. I'm doing my a version of that for Red Parakeet. He's going to do one of my tunes on the other side. Stinkin' Liz Vetta after that. Daily Madness. Okay, so this, do you get into lessons?
I mean, I had saxophone lessons.
No, on the bass. Yeah, at school, they probably, you had to learn those marching band songs, right?
But on the bass, I never had any formal lessons. Man, I took some.
I got to tell you, as a fellow bass player, man, I love your playing.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I hear a lot of cats, and, you know, sometimes some cats don't need fucking lessons. Not prodigy either. It's just whatever. It's kind of like walking. You fall down a little bit at first, and then, yeah. But it's really good. Now, what I'm hearing with Stinkin' Elizaveta is electric stand-up or stand-up through an amp? Or
stand-up.
Yeah. So when do you make the switch from the Stang? No, it's a music master. To the double, a doghouse, huh? That's the slang.
Well, I was playing an upright acoustic bass.
When did you first do that? Oh, did you go to college for music?
I went to college for just random shit, basically. But I was playing. Someone else had an upright acoustic bass that I was playing, and I really liked it, but it wasn't mine. And then Yanni got this one, the upright electric that I still play.
Okay.
And
Do you ever call it a URB? Some cats call it URBs.
Oh.
Yeah. Acronym world. You know, if you grow up, I grew up Navy, so there's a lot of that shit in the military.
We call it Odysseus's bow.
Wow, yeah.
Nobody else can play it.
Has it got action where you could stick your head between the strings and the fretboard?
Basically.
Yeah. I remember cats telling me, don't worry, it'll build up your strength. He's like, yeah, you motherfucker. we got to get to the, you know what? Let's play Shock, and then we're going to get to how Stinkin' Elizaveta got together, okay? We'll be right back. Pedro Short, Chunk of Music, start off with Steak and Lizaveta doing Shock. And Dan Jones and the Squids. Kansas City, a lot of squid in the Missouri River, right? Well, maybe soon. Rock and Roll Daydreams. That's a title. You can't copyright a title, people. It's like nobody's ever fucking called their song that before. Have a Nice Life, or that this demo from, actually the band's Have a Nice Life, the song Sisyphus. Getting all Greek with your chores, your labors. Except not just 12, it's forever time, right? With fucking Sisyphus. Well, he was all fucking full of his shit anyway. He deserved it. Maybe. I ain't charging judgment. Justice. Noisuke after that. Sensations of Tone. And then Stinking Lizaveta. It's Electric Future. So, Yanni, how'd the band get together?
Well, I had moved to Philadelphia, and I was like, man, this scene is wild, bro. Lots of great musicians everywhere. And then one night, I went out to a basement show, and I saw Cheshire Augusta playing with her band, the National Wrecking Company. And it was one of the greatest things I'd ever seen. I mean, I had seen the Melvins. I had seen everybody, the Minutemen, you name it.
Funny you name Yanni, I got to tell you that you mentioned those two bands. The first time we played in Seattle, the opening band was Melvins.
Oh, wow.
So somehow you got your fucking psychic fingers in my brain and you're pulling the shit out. Okay, so you dug this gig. Now, there was a little paltry music scene in D.C., so you went from one music scene to another one. But you were getting tired of the other one?
Yeah, you know, Philly was wild in the 90s, man. It was just like, there were laws, man. It was just like a crazy town, you know, and I just loved it. And that's the night I saw Cheshire Augusta play the drums, and I just went about to try and convince her to play with me.
Oh, you wanted to make a band. You wanted to make a band from seeing them play, but steal their drummer.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
Okay, so what happened? I mean, Watton and then what happened can be two different things. So,
well, then I had to convince Alexi to play with us, and that's when
You got Cheshire to quit these guys?
To quit nothing, man. I was like, just record a little music with me. That's all.
Oh, so it'd be like a side, the parallel universe.
I was just like, but you know, and so eventually their band did kind of run its course, I guess.
What they call it? They say followed its arc. It's the way humans, they get into these phrases and words, you know, and then if like 10, 20 years pass that, you're like, you know, oh yeah, we all say boss. That's real boss and groovy and, yeah, fuck. But anyway, so you bring your, because Alexi's still in D.C. or is he at college?
He's like in, what, Prague?
You know, there was a great stand-up bassist from Czech that was in Weather Report. And last name starts before Jocko. Anyway, so what do you do? How do you get him to come to from Prague to get to Philly?
Said he only play bass if it was an upright bass. So I found this this Morelli bass for sale for $100, and I said,
whoa.
It's your destiny right here.
Whoa, okay. So he comes over, he flies home, and what was the first... Do you already got a name for this project? Already stinking...
No name.
Okay.
We're thinking of, like, the Lullabies and other band names, but then we had the Brothers Karamazov was sitting on the coffee table, and we opened it up, and it said Stinking Lizaveta, and we were like... Well, that's kind of like a up yours kind of name that we can deal with, and let's do it.
They were like an acrobat troupe or something, right?
Flying Karamazov brothers,
There was some kind of like act that traveled around and did like tumbling and shit.
Dostoevsky.
Or are you talking about the, because there was a fucking like vaudeville, not vaudeville days, but more recently.
The Brothers Karamazov.
Yeah, I know about it. It's about crime and... Like his other book, Crime and Punishment. You know, but I thought maybe a musical act be inspired by another traveling touring act. I know of the book. It's very heavy. It's an argument against nihilism, right? Some philosophers say about that. Interesting book. Kind of dense, huh? Maybe the translation I read was fucked. So what was the first Stinking Lizaveta practice like? Okay, hard a question. What about the first gig?
Hold on, man. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm 35 years older than that.
Like 20 times since then, you know. First gig was pretty low key, just in our practice space, I think.
Well, I always ask that question because you can only have your first gig once. It was in your prac pad. Okay. And so it was friends. So would you consider it a success?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Tell me what happened.
You know, like 5 or 6 people were there. We played. And,
did they throw shit? You know,
I think they kind of dug it. I don't know. It was hard
to tell. That's a success. I mean, did they throw shit? Like,
oh, they throw shit? Nah, yeah. Nobody got that mad.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you, batteries hurt, especially the D ones. I've been hit with fucking everything. You wouldn't believe the shit I've been hit. I've been hit with. One time the power went off the first note of the first tune in Vienna, opening for Black Flag. And when the lights come on, I'm got used rubbers all over me. Like 12, 13 of them. Somebody worked at that shit. Okay, after the first gig, well, what was the material? Was it all original?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, some guys, a lot of guys' first gigs, they're covers.
So, like Van Halen?
Right. Anthem, right? Or something. What was their name? They had another name, even.
Right, yeah, they played backyard shows with all covers.
Pasadena. Well, everybody did. If you were around in the 70s, it was a fucking bleak-ass time. You want to talk Narcissus. They wouldn't listen to shit that was even 5 years old. You know, kids now listen to Black Sabbath, 40, 50-year-old band. That's like us listening to Charlie Patton. That shit did not happen. You know when that show Happy Days came out? I remember that's 50s, but my pop said those weren't fucking Happy Days. I mean, this shit always happens, right? They market to the next generation. So, can you remember the first stinking Elisaveta song you wrote, Yanni? Are you the principal songwriter, or is it a collective effort?
You know, just by the numbers, you could call me the principal songwriter, but Alexi and Chester have also written songs that have been on the records. I seem to have the most titles, but, you know, we always look at it as a collective. You know, you got to put it through the filter before it comes out the other end.
No,
I
think it takes an open-minded, though, because some dudes, I remember reading the Mike Barnes book on Captain Beefheart, right? Cooter says, it was getting a little brown shirt there. Look, we're at the end of the end of the second hour. June 23, 2023, this Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Stinkin' Elisaveta. Hold tight for hour 3. June 23, 2023, third hour, Watch Pedro Show.
Pour savoir comment vous vous organisez demain. Dominique puis moi, on sort, là, on sera pas ici avant ben 11h30, minuit. Fait que si tu veux laisser un message dans le répondeur, dire à quelle heure qu'on se rencontre, puis être sûr qu'il y a du lunch pour Dominique, ou bien s'il faut que je fasse un lunch aussi. Fait que pour me dire ça, s'il faut que je fasse un lunch, puis à quelle heure que tu vas venir chercher Dominique. OK, fait que rappelle-nous et laisse un message sur le répondeur. Bye! Mon petit papa, c'est ta fille adorée. Là, Daniel, comme outil, il y a un Westcott. Fait que je voulais savoir si c'était suffisant pour le lavabo de salle de bain. Fait que, ben, rappelle-moi. Bye! Message pour M. Léo Louis XVI de rappeler Mme Dubois à la compagnie d'assurance 282-6812. Bonne journée.
for Pedro. Show start off third hour. Stinking Los Veta with Light of Love, Darkness of Doubt. Then Ben Shemmy with The Past Continues. Take the K out of punk rock. You got pun rock, people. Except that ain't a word pun. That's a concept pun, huh? Maddie Cicero Weisberg. That's a name. Love it. Oh, yeah. Maddie was on the show. I think he's in either Connecticut or Massachusetts. Earth is a Breathing Valley. Live. And then finally, Stinking Les Veta. Nomen est omen. All right. That's pretty good. When do the titles come? First, middle, last, when?
Last.
Almost last everybody though. I have on the show says that. Not why has to start with it, because it helps me with my songwriting and have a focus. But, yeah, interesting that way. Especially instrumental music, right? Titles are important. Like John Coltrane, when he writes Alabama, I mean, you could hear a heaviness, right? He even uses some of those licks in Love Supreme. But by calling it Alabama, whoa. So, yeah, because I'm reading the Charlie Christian Goins McKinney book. And, Flying Home, Solo Flight, Special Airmail, you know. Instrumental music and titles, important. In a way, they're the only lyrics, right?
Yeah.
So, you guys got a new release, right? I didn't know in the timeline of the stuff you gave me, Yanni, so I kind of went by the shorter songs to the longer ones. I didn't know, you know, when they came in the timeline. Was it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And so what's the latest thing called?
It's out today. Today is the release date,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Hey.
That's a great honor for you guys being on my show on the release date of your album. Thank you so much.
It's called Anthems and Phantoms.
Anthems and Phantoms. All right. And what tunes? Have I played any of the tunes? A lot of the tunes, right?
I have. Okay. Nomen Est Omen.
Oh, that one's off there? Okay.
Played Serpent Underfoot. Light of Love, Darkness of Doubt. Yeah.
Light of Love was the name of a T-Rex record, right? He made it with his second wife. Actually, she was driving the car when he got killed. I met his son, Roland. His son's Roland Bolin.
Roland Bolin.
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Pop. But he's a beautiful man, Jesus. But he was one when his pop got killed. You know, he didn't even make 30. First time I went to England, I went to the tree where the wreck was. Where did you record it?
We recorded it here in Philly in a dude's basement. His name is Steve Roach. He's known for like recording punk bands.
Yeah.
And, permanent hearing damage. You get your PhD, permanent hearing damage.
I got it. That's very clever. Yeah. It's great having 75-year-old guys mix your music. Lots of highs.
So yeah, we get to those highs too now.
And how long did it take you to do it?
To make it, I mean, we really just, you're just listening to like a couple days of tracking. And then, you know, the mixing took a long time afterwards. But okay. The tracking really only took a few days, actually.
And compared to the other releases, any difference?
This one is more live, I think. We really just used live tracks. I didn't redo, any of the solos or the just used all live stuff.
I think the spiel in the racket here is scratch guitar. You didn't use scratch guitar. Like you're going to get rid of them, right? They're just placeholders.
And then you're listening to it, you're like, hey, man, this is good.
Yeah. Well, some people like, believe me, I've recorded with Nels Klein. People, hey, I like that first take. Feel, right? Well, he can do it, man. A lot of cats are afraid, so much respect to you, Brother Yanni, for doing that.
And well, respect to the rhythm section for nailing it, man. Well, you know, that's the...
Well, respect to you for giving them respect, you know, because that's... Well, you know, in the old days we were saying, right, the guitar used to be in the rhythm section, but, man, it seems like hierarchy's starting to develop again. I'm so glad your little brother can fucking kick like Cato. And Chester, too. And Chester, yeah, absolutely. I had to do an interview on a sports, you know, like the Dodgers radio. What are you trying to do with the bass, Mike? And so I'm thinking, how can I relate this to these cats? And I think, well, I'm trying to dance with the kick drum.
Dance with the kick drum.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Because they kind of have the same space, right? And like those bands without basses, yeah, there's more room in the boat. But fuck that poor, lonely, naked kick drum.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Chester, you ever compose on the drums?
Yes.
Because I really think that's a new frontier. Same with composition on the bass, Alexi. Because we don't have the harmonic, same with the drums, the harmonic content, so the collaborators aren't forced into some kind of corner already, like a piano or a guitar-written song would do. But we still have the rhythm and starts and stops and shit like that, and melody, too, if we want. So do you ever, Cheshire, you ever compose on?
Yeah. Sit down with something and just let, like, trance out on it. And usually what's happening, if I'm playing a part, I'm hearing a bass line. So that's kind of where things start for me, if I start from the drums.
And, you know, Chico Hamilton could not get songwriting credits. He was a band leader. And I guess the notes don't last long enough, right? Assholes. Biggest fuck-up Minutemen did was have George Hurley in the back. All the last 20 years, I've had all my drummers at the lip of the stage.
Yeah.
It's rhythm music. Why be in fucking denial?
No, I mean, I'm, you know, by the way, the whole thing is a drum solo, so, like, why shouldn't I be at the front of the stage?
I remember one time, you know, Iggy was a drummer, so him and Scotty had, in fact, he taught Scotty how to play drums.
The stage stuff with the drums, man. The sound man always wants to fight you on that one, like, you know.
You know, yeah, the snake's not long.
Get this. You know, Ig was a drummer, right? So him and Scott, he taught Scotty drums so he could be a singer. And one time at practice, he goes, you know, it sounded like a little case of rollitis. Yeah, I guess, well, you were saying the whole bit, one big drum solo, right? Alexi, you ever compose on a bass?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's just like sit down and feel what comes out of my hands and my brain. And
now let me run this by you. Dude, say, oh yeah, he gave me a bass line. I write these motherfuckers verses, choruses, bridges, intros, outros. Oh no, they gave me a bass line. This hierarchy shit. I thought that was arena rockville. Fuck that.
I do like to write drum parts as well.
Can you play drums?
But I'll just program drum parts along with bass lines.
Like, he does play drums.
I think, man, if I was like czar of the schools, if to graduate, you'd have to visit another country and then learn drums. Because I think we'd have a society that was kinder to each other. Anyway, that's just my personal thing. I want to play Blue Skunk.
It's a loaded gun, a loaded gun. Yeah.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Start off that Chuck Stinkin' Lesveta with Blue Skunk, bass player composed tune, people, or at least got the fire started. Petrified Max after that with Three Times Gone. Troopa Troopa out of Poland. That's a SoCal band. Troopa Troopa from Poland, and that's Kwietnik. That's a word. Kwietnik, maybe. And Outgoing Alcohol from the Xenochronic AMM All-Stars. This was during the situation and trading files with some people in England. And finally, the Heart Stinking Lizaveta. So you got a tour to promote the record coming up.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing Western Markets.
Okay. Really? My side? Okay. I-5 tour. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah.
And where can people find you on the internet? Do you have a Stinking Lizaveta website?
Camp.
We got Bandcamp. We got...
You don't got it. I think the people own fucking video games owns that thing. You're one of the fucking clients or one of the oars on the slave ship. No. I think Bandcamp is the best place on the web for music people. I really do. A lot of those other things are jive and shit, but I think they're the most straight up that thing.
Do pay. Hey, man, you know, you get your little, like,
yeah, that's
bucks.
What I'm saying, and they don't censor, and they don't, yeah, they're fucking bitching. People, go to stinkinglizaveta.bandcamp.com. You can get information there. Where's your tour schedule?
Tour schedule is on our, what do you call it? That's Instagram and Facebook.
Instant and, ham and fake look. You know. Yeah. All right. Look, when you get done with the record, are you already thinking of the next one?
Oh, yeah, man. This record's already like...
Yeah,
like,
right. Oldie time.
Oh, you know?
Well, when you get your next record, will you come on the show? We can play it and talk about it now that we got all that history shit out of the way.
Do that.
Because you said we got to bring shit into the 21st century. Let's do it, all right? When I get back from tour in November...
I'm making music for the year 2050, so, you know, hang on as long as you can.
Okay, okay. But maybe get on the show before that. Thanks so much for being on, all three of you. Alexi, Cheshire, Yanni, you bitching people. Keep on keeping on, please. People, it's been June 23, 2023 edition. Why Peter should give you powder drive.